Everybody good? You ready to receive the word this morning? Okay, you gotta be ready. Your heart's gotta be open. I want to talk to you this morning about the wisdom of God. And it certainly is not a topic that we could ever exhaust. But we were in Ephesians, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And Ephesians 1, 17, we talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago. And we talked about it in the area of of praying for one another. And I don't know about the rest of you who were on that prayer calendar, but I was just really blessed yesterday. I can't believe I was so blessed. And then I realized, they're praying for me today! So it was pretty, it really was pretty cool and pretty amazing. So Ephesians 1, verse 17 says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So this verse is about the Holy Spirit. Remember that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit was to come alongside and to be our helper. And when we need to make decisions, God says that he will give us the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. Revelation means a lifting of the veil. If you can imagine maybe a room that you want to go in and that room is off limits, a revelation would be the door being open to that room so you could go in and you could begin to see what was exactly in that room. So that's what revelation means. It means a pulling back of the curtain. And so last week, like I said, these verses in Ephesians are, if you find yourself kind of stuck and only praying, you know, oh, it's Pastor Joy's day for prayer today, Pastor Ace, I don't want to pray for them, God bless them. You can always go through these verses in Ephesians, that God will give you the spirit of revelation and wisdom of him. And you can begin to pray those verses all through for people there as well. And so I love it when people say they're praying this verse for me. I'm like, yes, God, bring your wisdom and bring your revelation. And so we get wisdom and revelation from God. But I don't want to talk about the revelation that we get. This morning I want to talk to you about the wisdom of God, that God is wise. And again, it is an unsearchable subject. Yesterday some friends took me to the Shoe Museum in Toronto. And you stand, I felt fires as I walked through the door going, they were male boots, they had stripes going down, and there was no, it had no problem with gender in the Arctic. That was kind of a joke. Where's my joke key card? But it was brilliant. It reminded me of that verse that it talks about in Genesis. In Exodus. It says this, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name the son of," and he gives the names of them, "from the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and all manner of workmanship or craftsmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, silver, brass, and cutting of stones, to set them, and carving of timber, to work all manner of workmanship. And I have given to him the sons from the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded them." Did you? And I thought of that as I looked at what these incredible people did. I thought, that's the wisdom of God right there in those people, creating in them. How else would you get to take a little bone from a bird and make a needle out of it? How do people think of these things? It's the wisdom of God. And God said when he was building the tabernacle that he gave all these people wisdom to do all these different things. And so we see all this wisdom of God, but sometimes we don't even recognize that that is the wisdom of God. And so we're going to look at it for a little bit this morning. It's incredible, indescribable. I don't even try to describe it. I'll just point out some things this morning. And my prayer this morning is that Father, you would give us a spirit of revelation on just how incredibly wise you are. In Romans chapter 16, if you're taking notes, verses 21 to 27, the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Romans, and he was in his closing statement. First of all, he writes about faith that is triumphant in all kinds of trouble that we go through. He talks about God granting promises to his people and God keeping his promises through faith. He talks about in Romans that we're really dead to sin. So he talks about all of those things, and then in his very last word, it's like he breaks into this song. I don't know if you've ever felt that way when you're sitting at home kind of reading your devotions and all of a sudden something grabs your heart and all of a sudden there's a song in your heart and you just feel like breaking forth and just feel like singing out to God. I kind of get that impression with the Apostle Paul as he goes through all that. The book of Romans, not too many people study it because it's this huge meat, this huge hunk of steak in the Word of God. But then he goes on in Romans chapter 16 and says, "Now to him who has the power to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the sacred secret kept silent for long ages, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic scriptures, according to the commands of the eternal God, to advance the obedience of faith among nations, to the only wise God, to him be glory forever. Amen, amen." Right? Can you see the Apostle Paul just getting into it, going back, thinking of all these things God was, and then just the hallelujah chorus breaks out to the only wise God. And, of course, we can stop at every according, there's all these accordings in there, but today we're just going to move on because God is infinitely wise. My friend once said to me, "Oh, just leave it to God. He's a genius." And the more I read about who God is and what he did, I realized he goes way beyond genius. His ways are unsearchable. So he's infinitely wise. The word infinite means limitless or endless. Endless in extent or in size, impossible to measure or calculate. It's like the infinite mercy of God. It's infinite. It just goes on and on. There's no end to the wisdom of God. And so I think that if we can see this about who God is and really, really believe it, one writer that will revolutionize your life if we take it as our own. If we understand all of the things, all the wisdom of God, that He is so incredibly wise, it will shape our perspective. It will give us comfort. It will kill our anxiety. Oh, I'm so worried about that thing. I don't know. How it's going to work out. I'm just so worried. When I understand that my God, we sang about the God of angels. You sang that God is on our side, right? And so that's, He's the one that we rely on. That's why I can say, oh, I'm not worried about that. My hands are open. I'm giving it to God. Because He's wise. He's all wise. His understanding, Psalm 147 verse 5 says, His understanding is infinite. I don't think that we can fully understand that the word infinite means it goes on and on and on. No, absolutely no end to His understanding and to His wisdom. In Daniel chapter 2, 21, Daniel described God's wisdom when he said, He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, establishes kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what's in darkness, and light dwells within Him. Right. Nothing is ever a mystery to God. He's never puzzled. He's never confused. He never wonders, why did Joy do that? Never. I wonder how I'm going to get around this situation. God is never puzzled, never confused. He is never uncertain. I am. Wonder what I'm going to do about that. Lord, how are you going to handle that? God is never. He's never without an answer to those things. And so Paul tries to talk about the wisdom of God. When he does, again, he goes, it's like he breaks out in song. God's wisdom is so deep, so incredibly deep. It's kind of like you can't get there from here because His wisdom is so unsearchable and so deep. His ways are untraceable. No one has ever been or could ever be His counselor. In fact, the wisdom of God is so deep and expansive that God can't even increase in wisdom. We can. We can increase in wisdom. The other day when I was, going to this shoe museum, we stopped at Tim Hortons before we went, and our friends ordered one tea bag in double cupped milk, but no sugar. So the person said, okay, do you want steep tea? No. Just one tea bag in. Okay, did you want milk with sugar? No, just milk. And I like an egg sandwich on a croissant. Okay, would you like it on an English muffin? No, just on a croissant. And so the other tea orders like something similar, so the other wisdom, getting wisdom. And so we can increase in wisdom, but God cannot. The only way for God to increase in wisdom is for something to come into God's mind that hasn't already gone out of God's mind. But Romans says that that's not possible, because Romans 11:36, from him and through him and to him are all things. So God can never get smarter or wiser than he already is, because his wisdom is infinite. So his actions are always perfectly wise. For those of us who have placed our trust and our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can trust his wisdom over our life. We can trust his direction. And what he does is always the best possible thing in our lives. He always does everything well. There's nothing cruel or malicious about God. Life takes turns that are hurtful and painful, but that's not God. God is so infinitely wise and so loving, and his wisdom to us creates a pathway for the best possible things in our lives, and that's pretty awesome. And so when we get a revelation of our wise, loving Heavenly Father, it should affect the way we think, it should affect the way we live, it should affect the way we pray, and it should affect the way we trust God. Because God is wise. And along with that wisdom, like we sang about, he's loving. He loves us so much. He has our best interest at heart. Isn't that awesome? That helps me trust God. When I know that God wisdom is not book smart, right? They don't have a great education, but they have wisdom. They are so wise in counsel and the things that they say. You just want to say, like, where do you get that from? Where do you get that understanding from? Because there's wisdom in the midst of it. My friend and your friend, Pastor Sue Kiteley, she really has a gift of wisdom. And it's amazing to watch her counsel and watch her just in conversation, the things that she comes up with, just kind of makes you shake your head and say, like, where did that come from? And you realize that she's connected to this awesome, wise Heavenly Father. And so this fact and what we know, this revelation of God's wisdom, should affect our attitude, it should affect our responses to life, because God is wise, and he is lovingly wise. We should trust his guidance more, because he's wise. So God, I trust you guiding me through this circumstance, this situation. I trust your guidance in all my life, because you're my Heavenly Father, and your wisdom is infinite. It just goes on and on and on. I read this. Would it change things for you if you firmly believed that the problem in your life that is pressing and difficult? Anybody got any pressing, difficult problems in your life? Yeah, I do too. You know his name? No. So would it change things for you if you firmly believed that the problem in your life that is pressing and difficult, the one you don't understand that makes you feel overwhelmed and ready to give up, was allowed by an all-wise, loving Father to bring about the best possible, longest lasting results for his glory and for your good? Would it make a difference if you understood that your life is not God's plan B or plan C, that it's always and only plan A, designated and designated designed specifically for you while you live in this fallen world? What would happen to your anxiety level? What would happen to your fear? What would happen to your worry? How would that knowledge and that belief affect your confidence in God? So when we understand that God is all wise and that God is for us, He's not against us, He's more than just on our side, saying this morning that He's always fighting for us. That's our God, that's our wise God, our wise loving God. Because He's not just some dictator that dictates our life. He loves us. Incredibly, incredibly loves us. And so does the knowledge that God is wise. How does that affect our fears? How does that affect the things that I fear? We know that the devil is the author of fear. So how does that affect, if I know that God is wise and yet I'm afraid of something, how does that affect it? If I have anxiety, and we're hearing a lot about people who suffer from anxiety, this should help. This is the pill that will help anxiety, fear, and worry. That our God is wise. He's not just smart, He's wise. And there's a big difference in that. But how would that knowledge affect your confidence in God? When we think of the wisdom of God in salvation that came through Christ, everything in the package of salvation, if I could put it that way, looked like it was going to fail. A teenage girl, not married, born in a stable, having to ride on a donkey miles and miles. No nice cushy motel, but a stable. And then move from that and look at the disciples that look at the guys He chose. Look at the people He chose to represent Him, you and me. Look at the disciples. The Acts says that they were ignorant and unlearned men, yet they took note that they had been with Jesus. Because Jesus is the wisdom of God. Acts chapter 4, 13 says, "Now when the men of the Sanhedrin," which were the Jewish high court, "saw the confidence and boldness of Peter and John, and grasped the fact that they were uneducated, untrained, ordinary men, they were astounded and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus," Acts 4:13. But the most foolish plan of this wise God in our mind was the crucifixion. Why would you crucify your only son? Why would you send him to earth? How he healed everybody he came in contact with, raised the dead, and here he is, bleeding, dying, excruciating pain on a cross. Doesn't seem very smart to me. But 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For since in God's wisdom," say wisdom, "the crucifixion was the wisdom of God. In what looked like foolishness, the crucifixion was the wisdom of God." That's why in your life and my life, this situation might not seem like it's the wisdom of God. The way I navigated through this circumstance, the situation, it doesn't seem like it's very wise to me. Because you're not God. And in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom. In other words, God rejected the possibility of salvation through my own intellect. That's why I chose the foolishness, things that look foolish to us. into this wealthy family who had money for education. No. God rejected the possibility of salvation by human intellect and human wisdom. It goes on to say God was pleased to save those who believed through the foolishness of the message preached. So the wisdom of God seems like foolishness to us, but it is the wisdom of God. It goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1:21, for the Jews ask for a sign, and the Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, and foolishness to the Gentiles. Yet those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is God's power. Listen to this. Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. This foolish thing that happened, and if before you were saved, you might have even said those words like, oh my gosh, this man died on the cross for my sin. You expect me to believe that that can take my sin away and that I can go to heaven? That's foolish. You know, anybody who calls this foolishness, I do. Because it's God's wisdom. And God's wisdom oftentimes can look like something foolish to us. Christ is God's power and God's wisdom. So, in God's infinite wisdom, he chose a way of salvation through Christ that looks totally crazy to us. Now, you might not say that because you're here and you've received Christ as your salvation and you know about God and you know about Christ. But when you look at it from a different standpoint, it seems like a crazy plan, God. If I was your advisor, I maybe would advise something a little different. No one on earth would have come up with a plan involving the brutal murder of the Son of God for sinners. No one. Yet the most foolish-looking, humbling moment for Christ actually was God's wisdom. And at the point of his greatest weakness, God's power is unleashed. Verse 25 in 1 Corinthians 1. Because God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Wow, that's pretty amazing, pretty impressive prayer. It goes on to talk about the Jews wanting a sign and Greeks wanting wisdom. Signs and wonders can puff you up. They can make you proud because, wow, look at, you begin almost to think, well, look at what I did. And the Jews were in that category. So God chose a way to save sinners that was foolish and humbling. You can't rely on your intellect. There's no room for human boasting. It doesn't mean you check our brains at the door. It doesn't mean that we don't seek knowledge and understanding. That's not what we're talking about. But when it comes to salvation, I can't depend on my intellect. There's no room for human boasting, and actually that's God's goal. That you and I can pat ourselves on the back and say, I did this. No, none of you in this room did this. None of you in this room. It was God's wisdom through Jesus Christ, the foolishness of the cross. In his wisdom, it was wise of God, the Bible says. It was wise of God to choose you. That was his wisdom in choosing you. It was wise of God to purchase you. That was God's wisdom. It wasn't just a second thought. Oh, you know, there's Rob with his hands up and his knees repenting. Yeah, okay, Rob, you've got. No, it was God's wisdom that chose us. I used to feel pretty good. It was God's wisdom that chose me. Purchased, called. And then he gave us everything that was related to salvation. And that's pretty humbling. Because I didn't do any of this by myself. That's where we get into the grace of God, which we know about God's ability to do what we can't do. ourselves. And so instead, we glorify God. We give Him glory. And it seems to take a lot of time and a lot of lessons in humility to bring us to the place where we rest in His wisdom and we trust His plan over our lives. Because sometimes our lives, they just contain some rough spots, don't they? They contain life, but they contain death. They contain hurts, and they contain wounds. But our wise God came through His hand, and it, in the end, will bless and be a benefit to us. And when we know the wisdom of God, we can trust His plan. When we do that, we're wise. So wise living starts with fearing the Lord. If we don't fear the Lord, Proverbs says we're not wise. Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So, believers, if I can say this in humility, believers in Jesus Christ should be wise people. There's the opportunity to be wise. David said that he's wise beyond all his teachers because of his relationship with Almighty God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Do we fear the Lord? Do we recognize His Creator? Again, when I went to this place with my friend, I'm a senior, and the other friend was too, but my other friend was not, and so we paid for our way in, and she had a little bit, I couldn't figure out what was taking her so long, because she had to explain to the person that she was not yet a senior, and they're like, oh, well, she said, no, it matters to me, and she said, I have attention, no, it's not nothing to do with age, it is something to do with truth and integrity. I actually went to a show and I bought her a ticket for it, and I thought we were all seniors, and so I bought her a senior ticket as well. She wanted to go and give it back because she's not a senior. And I can't do something that's not truthful. Why? The fear of the Lord. Because she didn't want to offend the Lord. She didn't want to have something in her life, but it was my problem at that point, not hers. So do we fear the Lord? Do we recognize God as Creator? Do we recognize that He's my Master? He's Lord of all. Sunday school teacher used to say, God's the boss. He's the boss. When I recognize that God is my boss, if I have an earthly boss, which is I do, if I have an earthly boss, I do what she tells me to do. Now, I might have a conversation and say maybe this way would be better. It's usually not. But I do what she tells me to do, because in that relationship, she's the boss when we paint. And God is our boss. And you can discuss things with Him and you can ask Him questions, but He's infinitely wise. When you understand that, that's the fear of the Lord. He's holy. He's awesome. He calls the shots. And when we recognize that, we respond differently. We respond willingly, and we submit ourselves to God, and we submit ourselves to His plan for our life. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is called trust. And if I know what I want this to do, I want a little bit of understanding of the wisdom of God to help you trust Him. To help you say, okay, God, I don't understand, but I'll trust You in this circumstance, in this situation. I'll trust You in it because I know You are infinitely wise. Say infinitely wise. His wisdom goes on. There's no end to the wisdom of God. Without the fear of the Lord, there is no wisdom. It starts at salvation, and then it continues in humility. So wise living starts with the fear of the Lord. Secondly, wise living grows by receiving scriptures. It's perfect. Reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Did you just hear what the word can do for you? The Bible is perfect. It will revive the soul. The Bible is trustworthy. The Bible will make the inexperienced wise. You want wisdom. Every day we read the word. And the Bible shows you the mind of God. The more you get into the word of God, the more wisdom marks our lives. Number three, wise living requires that we ask for it specifically. Next time we'll talk about asking for wisdom. James 1:5-6. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. I really like that you put that in, without criticizing. Because sometimes when you ask somebody something, they can get a little critical, like you should know that by now. You know, like, I'm always asking a question about baseball, because I don't know how it works. The little messenger, I still call the lightning bolt. And sometimes when I ask, it's like, oh my gosh, you shouldn't even have us in our thought. But God never acts like that. He never puts you down. James 1:5-6. He never criticizes when you ask for wisdom. Never. When I go back to him again and say, God, I think I messed that up or I forgot that. You know? If you live with people that forget things. I told you that already. No, God is... He's never like that. I'm happy. He gives generously and without criticizing, and then we give it to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the doubter is like a surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. When you ask God for wisdom, you're not asking for a second opinion. Right. God, I think this is what we should do, but what's your opinion on this? We're not asking God for a second opinion. We're asking God, what should we do in the midst of this circumstance? I need wisdom. I want your wisdom on this, Lord, and whatever you show me, I'll do. A.W. Tozer, very skilled writer, said, in the knowledge of the Holy One, said this: to believe actively that our Heavenly Father constantly spreads around us providential circumstances that work for our present good and our everlasting well-being brings to the soul an absolute blessing. Most of us go through life praying a little, planning a little, jockeying for position, hoping, but never quite certain of anything, and always secretly afraid that we will miss the way. This, he goes on to say, is a tragic waste of truth, and never gives rest to the heart. There is a better way. It is to reject, renounce, and deny our own wisdom, and take instead the wisdom of God. God has charged himself with the full responsibility for our eternal happiness. Sometimes I think we forget that. That God wants you to be happy. You're making it really hard this morning. God wants you happy. God wants you happy. day long, and I'm just like, God, help us here. And next thing you know, I pulled up within 5 minutes, and I pulled up and said, I'm a little curious of why a pastor would be down on his knees wiggling away at a rock. Can I help you? And a little cheeky, but they said, yeah, only if you're a locksmith. And he said, actually, I am.
He looked over at his big sign on his truck that said, such and such locksmith, you know?
He had to fix it in just a couple minutes. The wisdom of God to bring across people into your pathway. We didn't have to go knock on doors or phone somebody. Can you come and help? God just brought it along our pathway. Because that's the wisdom of God. Your God is, that's who my God is. You just open up our hearts and begin to trust in a dimension that we never trusted before. And to rest in the wisdom of God is a wise thing to do. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans, God says, I have for you. I know the plans I have for you. God, just like one day, just I shouldn't see you here, ladies, Bible said, but I just highlighted that to me. I know the plans that I have for you. You may not know all my plans for you or what you thought should have happened in your life, but I, God says, I know the plans. Our wise God knows the plans that he has for you. Plans to, listen to this, prosper you. Well, that makes me happy. I like prosperity. That's what good news is. Good news is not that you're going to be sick, dead, and in jail, poverty stricken. Good news is that I've got plans to prosper you. That's good news. God wants to prosper you, not to harm you. He wants to give you a hope. He wants to give you a future. This is a wise God. And if wisdom is what you need, we start with Jesus Christ, because Christ is the wisdom of God. But to those who are called by God to salvation, both the Jews and the Greeks, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. The wisest decision you can make, as most of you have made it today, is to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Last verse, Jude 24:25. Jude is right before Revelation. Jude 24:25. I'm going to read the whole thing. Sorry, not the whole Jude. Maybe if you don't start getting happy, you're just going to keep reading. Jude verse 20 says, but you, beloved, see, there it is again, telling you that you're loved. You're so loved. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. Now, verse 24, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Have you ever had to present somebody, or let's not even somebody, but something? You bought this amazing gift. Like, okay, 1 year I bought Ace Harley. And it was this amazing gift that I bought him. And several of us were gathering in the garage, presented it to him. And there was such incredible joy that I could present something that I knew that he wanted to him. I could present it to him with an exceeding joy. When Jesus takes you to the Father, he presents you, he's so happy to present you to the Father. He's not like, oh, there's a red, shove her light down there. I don't know. But anyway, she's here. She's here, Dad, so what's the matter? No, he presents you with his faultless before the presence of his Lord with exceeding God. Okay, here it is. To God our Savior, who alone is wise. He's wise. And because of his wisdom, I can trust him. And if you are here this morning, or some of you I don't know, you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today can be your day. This can be the wisest decision you will ever make in your whole entire life, is to fear the Lord. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? I'm just going to pray with you. Maybe the worship team could just get ready. Who sing over hands? Father, I thank you for the happy people that are here today. We're happy, God, that you are going to present us with exceeding joy before the Father. Thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for being so wise. God, there's no one like you.
That's right.
No deity, no being, no one like you. And so, Father, it is easy to place our trust in you. And this morning, God, we come with open hands.
Yes.
We bring you the stuff, God. And our hands are open to let some things go, but our hands are open to praise you and to bless you because you are the only wise God.
Praise your name.
Father, if there are some here this morning that have not yet embraced you, they've never opened their heart to you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior and God, I pray that this morning will be the day.
Yes.
And our hearts will be open to you and we can simply say, God, thank you for sending Jesus your Son.
Glory.
I know I'm a sinner, I repent, and ask you to come into my life. As your word says, I open the door of my heart and invite you in to be my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise.